two of the biggest stars on that show, Liz Peek, Fox News contributor and syndicated columnist, and Steve Moore, FreedomWorks, actually chief economist of FreedomWorks, and Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and his new book, Godzilla. Welcome back, kids. So let me begin, I can't avoid it, really, with the TV spectacular on the January 6th committee. What a wonderful thing that was. But the New York Post editorial this morning, Trump Dems remain obsessed with 2020. GOP should look to future instead. Okay. Liz Peek, I begin with you. GOP should look to future instead, if such a thing is possible. What you think?
Oh, I think that's totally true. And I think the Republicans are looking to the future. They're looking to a very bright future when they take over both houses of Congress in November, for example. But should they move on from January 6th? Yes, I think they all, every Republican has denounced what took place that night or that day. They've denounced the constant refrain from President Trump about how he had the election stolen from him, et cetera. I think the people who are so solidly immersed in this and can't let it go are the Democrats, because they have nothing else. I mean, Joe Biden was elected by people who didn't like Donald Trump, and that is really the beginning and end of Joe Biden's campaign. What do they campaign on now? Certainly not 8.6% inflation, certainly not soaring crime, an open border, et cetera. They campaign on hating Donald Trump. You know what? I just think the rest of the world has moved on.
Steve Moore, I'm interested. I mean, January 6th was a very bad day. No two ways about it. But I don't see this great conspiracy that the Democrats are trying to put together. Now, I agree with Liz 100%. It's a distraction. They have nothing else to talk about, so they're trying to make this into a big deal. Trump did call for 20,000 National Guard troops, and this connection that they're supposedly making between Trump and the crazies, I mean, I don't see the smoking gun, and that's why I don't take this Jan 6th committee stuff very seriously. What do you think?
Well, I have a confession to you, Larry. I watched the basketball game. I didn't watch. I watched the NBA finals. I didn't watch much of it, as I think most Americans did.
I was on a plane. I missed the whole thing.
And I was at an event, so none of us watched it.
Right, exactly. The whole thing is highly disturbing. You know, I agree with you, a terrible day for America. I mean, I'm horrified by seeing some of the clips. The American people want to move on. They want to talk about the future. And I think the Post gives good advice to Trump when it's, you know, and he can't get past what happened in the election. The Democrats can't get past it. Nobody wants to talk about the future. Given the, you know, collapse of the economy that we're seeing right now, it seems to me this is just simply a desperate change of subject by the Democrats right now. By the way, just one quick thing, if I may. I'm in Washington, D.C. They have two protests and parades going on, one for gun control and one for gay pride in the same afternoon.
Good luck on that. You know, Liz, I attended an awful lot of Oval Office meetings in my 3-year term. I mean, I was in there a lot. I never saw any Pride Boys in the Oval Office. Mm. I mean, I never saw any of these crazies in the Oval Office. Now, I know they're out there, and I know they're mischievous, and they did bad things. But again, this conspiracy stuff is kind of driving me crazy.
Well, and I think some commentators actually talked about that in the aftermath of these hearings that we didn't watch, that actually the Democrats have failed to connect the dots between the people who actually instigated the riots, which are the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers. You know, I don't know about you guys. I've never even heard of these people until recently.
Me neither.
And, you know, it's like the QAnon thing. I mean, they create these sort of bogeymen. And look, I'm obviously they're out there, and they've arrested 800 people for various charges, and these guys, these Proud Boys or whatever they're called, have been charged with sedition and whatever, but I don't think they can link it back to Donald Trump. I could be wrong. Am I crazy? Was Rachel Maddow actually talking about how Donald Trump had a rally? Yes, but it was quite some distance from the Capitol, and he really didn't. I mean, was she actually, creating space here between that rally and what went on at the Capitol? It sounded like it's on Twitter. I mean, if she doesn't see a connection, holy crow! I don't think there is one.
You know what? I missed that. Maybe I should invite her on the show. I missed that.
Well, it just may be they took a bit of her presentation, and it's not a fair reflection of what she thinks. But it did seem like that, and I think she's right. I mean, I don't, and honestly, I don't know whether that's what she was saying in its entirety. Because guess what? There's a lot of fake news on Twitter.
Can I just add one thing to this discussion? I mean, look, there were some real bad actors on January 6th. But I would say about 96% of the people who were out protesting were peaceful. And they were, we had actually people staying at our home who had actually traveled from Pennsylvania. They were just good, great Americans and, cared about our country. And they thought there was a lot of fraud in the election and they, wanted to protest. And that's the right. So the reason I just bring that up is this arrest of this Michigan Senate candidate for just being at the rally is outrageous. It really, it's frightening. It's very frightening.
Don't you wonder, Steve, if they had spent the time that they have spent reviewing 100,000 documents, interviewing 1,000 people, what if Congress had spent that time really proving to the American people, looking into every election fraud assertion and making it absolutely clear to the country there was no election fraud, have real bipartisan investigation out of Congress so that Trump could no longer talk about it, all the people who are Republicans could stop talking about it. I think Biden made a huge mistake. When he took office, he should have said, we are going to investigate this. I don't want to be considered an illegitimate president by a third of the country or whatever it is. I think they really could have done something noble and important then, but they never wanted to do that. And I think that's a sad thing.
Except for the fact that there was election fraud. Now, whether or not that election fraud, would have changed the outcome, I don't know. But I do think there was a lot of hanky panky going on.
Well, there was a lot of pre-election fraud. See, that's the thing.
Exactly,
pre-election
exactly.
fraud.
Yes.
So I just want to clarify.
My friend John Fun likes to say they stole it fair and square.
That's right.
So those people stayed at your home and then they went to the rally?
Yeah, they were, but it was a really interesting thing because I remember talking to these folks and they had, packed into a bus and they were sleeping in our basement. There were about 7 or 8 of them. They were great people. And I remember talking to them the night before. And I said, oh, yeah. And I said, yeah, it's really sad. Trump's, leaving us. And they could say stuff like, oh, no, he's not leaving. I'm like, what? So there was this kind of idea that this wasn't, that there was going to some way that, that Trump was going to be able to hold up. They weren't seditious. They were just, they didn't want to see Trump leave. And, that thought was planned. And I think Trump is somewhat culpable for kind of leading these people on and thinking that somehow they were going to be able to change the election outcome. But that's my own take on it.
Well, his speech, his speech at that rally was way too hot. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But it's also true, and DeRoy Murdoch has written about this, that weeks before he requested 20,000 National Guardsmen.
Yes.
And it was turned down by the mayor of Washington and by the Speaker of the House. I mean, you can't pin the violence on him. I think that these connections that they're trying to make, the conspiracy connections, I think don't hold any water. He was too hot, and the whole episode is most regrettable. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think you can pin any of that going into the Capitol, breaching the Capitol on him. I mean, that was not his intent.
And the fact that they left the Capitol unguarded, Larry, I think that's something that people on the right are, again, why didn't they have an actual bipartisan committee? Why don't they have some Trump supporters on that committee so that, people would have some confidence in it? Having Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, nobody has any confidence that this was a fair-minded investigation.
Well, this is the Liz Cheney Employment Committee.
Yeah,
she has a post House Member Employment Committee. That's the way I look at that.
Yeah.
Trying to get herself a job. But then again, you got somebody who was caught, who wanted to murder Brett Kavanaugh, and at the same time, Nancy Pelosi is still blocking the bill to enhance the security for the Supreme Court justices. And they got people following,
Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah, I mean, tracking down what schools her kids go to and what church she goes to. And no one's making a fuss about that. Joe Biden hasn't said a word about that, defending Coney Barrett, defending Kavanaugh. I mean, that's a part of this insanity. I mean, this guy's one to murder. But they should, you know, first of all, even picketing, marching, demonstrating outside a Supreme Court justice house is against the law.
Yeah.
So why aren't they arresting 800 people who are doing that?
Well, why isn't Joe Biden speaking out about this?
Right. He hasn't said a word.
Where's the Democratic leadership denouncing this? It's really, we're living a weird era right now where, all they talk about, we can't have gun violence. And as this person has a gun, he wants to shoot a Supreme Court nominee. Yeah. And none of the Democrats have even spoken about it.
I think there's just such a double standard. That's just where we are.
That's right. Let's take a break. Go on to some other things. My favorite Treasury Secretary Yellen up on the Hill, hostage video Yellen, and she's pushing Yellen's FY 2023 budget, which is chock full of spending and taxing, which is most remarkable. We're here with Liz Peek, Fox News contributor and syndicated columnist, Steve Moore, FreedomWorks Committee to Unleash Prosperity, and the author of Govzilla. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. Larry Kudlow here. We got Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist. We got Steve Moore, FreedomWorks, and Committee to Unleash Prosperity. Kids, you know, didn't get much play, but Janet Yellen was up on the Hill this past week defending Biden's 2023 budget, which is Build Back Better. The last estimate by the CBO is $5 trillion in spending. And the tax hikes, okay? The corporate tax hikes, the individual tax hikes, the wealth confiscation tax hike, and the international corporate tax hike. She's up there giving us more of the same while the CPI comes in hotter than ever, okay? Steve Moore, I don't get this, and it's incredulous to me that they can be doing this. Now, this is the same Janet Yellen who was, you know, going on her apology tour. It looked like a hostage video the way she played it. And yet it's more of the same, more of the same. No reset, no nothing.
Yeah. You know, when Trump announced his top cabinet officials and his top advisors, that was, a year and a half ago. The one person I was, had some confidence in was Janet Yellen. I mean, she was Fed chief. She's got the background to be the Treasury Secretary. I've always thought she was level-headed, and I've been extraordinarily disappointed with her. I mean, she's just drunk the Kool-Aid of the progressive left in a way that I'm just still shocked by. And so she was supposed to be the one who was the adult in the room, and she hasn't been. I mean, so she's now spouting all of the left-wing progressive ideas, everything from global taxation to raising the corporate tax and on and on. And she's also an expert on climate change. I don't know if you guys know that. And so anyway, the point I'm making is that when she went south on us, then there was nobody left to come up with any good ideas in this White House. And so you're right. She gave a speech. I mean, in her testimony, it was all basically Build Back Better, higher tax rates in American companies, all of the things. And I think that there's a connection here, Larry, between the collapse of the stock market and the fact that there's nobody talking about any rational economic ideas. You know, in other words, it's not too late to start to turn things around, right? But there's no sense that they're going to do that. And that's why I think there's just a complete collapse in confidence. Consumer confidence is as low as it's ever been. Small business confidence is as low as it's ever been, and on and on and on.
Well, Liz, Build Back Better is going to cut the inflation rate. That's the last I heard.
That's what we keep hearing, and not even a fourth grader believes that. I mean, nobody believes that. I mean, I honestly think more than any other single canard issued from this president, this is the one that has brought him down, because nobody in the entire world thinks that spending another $3 to $5 trillion, which is what the legitimate number for Build Back Better was, is going to help inflation, which was spurred by spending an extra $2 trillion. So it's complete nonsense. Everybody knows it's nonsense. I just went through his speech given out at Long Beach, and it's just a remarkable document or speech in that almost everything he says is untrue. I mean, he talks about how, you know, consumers have less debt than they've had before. That's just
ridiculous.
Not true.
Yeah.
It's completely not true. You know, they're moving on to better jobs and better wages. Well, real wages were down 3% over the past year.
Right.
It doesn't really matter what you look at. It's all a fantasy world. And I mean, I just keep wondering who's feeding him this information and this material that is so blatantly false, including, again, that ridiculous claim about Build Back Better. And by the way, I actually did look at those 42 economists, Nobel laureates or Nobel whatevers that he keeps citing. And a lot of them have backtracked because someone actually went and asked them, do you really think this is right? And they said, well, that's not really what we said. I mean, or no, that's not quite what I meant. There is no support for this nonsense. And the sooner that Biden moves away from it, the better. But he doesn't really have any place to land. I think that's his big problem.
And Steve, in this, you heard Biden on Thursday and again on Friday, and I haven't seen this Long Beach speech, but I'm sure it's the same. It's an attack on business.
Yep.
Constant attack on business, Steve. And besides the Federal Trade Commission and the SEC and the Federal Reserve and ESG, there's no let up in the attack blaming business for all that ails us. This is a very bad thing in America.
It is. It's an extraordinarily anti-business agenda. And I wanted to just add one thing to what Liz was just saying, that I'm actually testifying before the House Budget Committee on Tuesday. And
I think they passed
that on to me. But here's the reason I bring that up is because the theme, this is the Democrats, they run the House of Representatives. The theme of this hearing, I'm not making this up, is how the American Rescue Plan saved the economy and saved lives. And and I think my opening statement is going to be, really? we have highest inflation rate, you know, in 40 years, and the economy seems to be in a state of collapse, and you're going to take a victory lap right now? I mean, Liz, you can't make this stuff up.
No, I'm that's just so offensive. I mean, when Biden took office and when this bill was passed, the economy was growing at over 6%, and we were heading even then for, I think, a tightness in the job market, escalating prices, et cetera. And then they just ladle this thing on. And that's when people like Larry Summers just said, whoa. And apparently even Janet Yellen said this could be too much. I mean, she denies it now, but that rings true to me. I'm sure she's not stupid, and it was a stupid thing to do.
But this attack on business, this is such a throwback. I mean, America is business, okay? You've got 160 million people, more or less, who work in business. And these things never work politically. It's just this far-left stuff, Steve. We've seen this before. You get it periodically, then it goes away. But we're in one of those periods where you have the whole of Washington, the White House, the Senate, and the House, blaming business for everything. And it's just, it won't work. Liz is right. The cavalry's coming, and it's going to be a big change come November. But I think it's very unhealthy for the country. It's very unhealthy for the culture.
Well, I've said it before. I'll say it again, quoting one of my great mentors, Dick Armey, that liberals love jobs and they hate employers, you know, and that is just so true. And you can't have jobs without businesses. And so, you know, I was thinking when you were just talking, Larry, about, okay, who's responsible for the bad economy? Okay, it's the oil companies, it's the drug companies, it's the meat producers, it's the poultry industry. I mean, all of a sudden, all these companies got greedy. Did you notice that? Just when Biden came into office. So he's passing on the blame. And what really frightens me, so their solution is back to the 1970s, price controls. Yeah. That's where they're headed.
So in the Long Beach speech, just a new group has emerged as the new bogeyman, and that's shipping companies, of which there are nine, and mostly foreign-owned, foreign-flagged, I guess. And Biden wants to take them on. He's introducing legislation to control pricing, I think, is what he's trying to do.
Yep, I agree. To your point,
Steve, so all these ships are going to turn right around and go someplace else in the world with the goods that they're carrying. By the way, I just want to raise two things. You mentioned, Steve, the collapse in consumer sentiment. I don't know that listeners have any idea how extraordinary this collapse in consumer sentiment is. 58 to 50, when all the economists were talking 58.5 or whatever. This is the lowest ever recorded. And when you consider the job market is indeed pretty good right now, people can get work. This is an unbelievable collapse. To Larry, to your point, it's because people have zero confidence in this White House. I really think that's where it comes from.
And Steve, as you've said, you've got Republicans joining this, wanting to dismantle the technology industry.
Mm. Yep. And that's a terrible idea. I mean, the technology industry, you know, and I don't like their politics, Larry. I know you and Liz don't either. But, you know, these are industries that have created trillions of dollars of wealth, trillions of dollars of consumer welfare. You know, Google, I always marvel at Google. You know, I can get any information I want in 12 seconds and it costs me nothing. So, we've got to get Republicans away from this idea that industry, you know, just because you're successful. I mean, being successful and building a better mousetrap is what the free enterprise system is all about.
Yes. Thank you, kids. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Larry.
Liz Peek and Steve Moore, you're both terrific.